Thank you again for being here. I know it's a little later than normal. I will not be as long. And so if you'll listen fast, you'll be asleep in 5 minutes. If you listen fast, I will talk fast. You know, one of the things about us, our human nature is most of us are adverse to risk. We like things to be very, very comfortable. We don't like to step out and do anything that would change who we are or where we're at. The problem with that is it doesn't lead to anything good. Most people are afraid to fail. They're afraid of confrontation that comes, not in a bad way, when they step out to do something. And the problem with that is, especially when it comes to Christianity, is it's very detrimental. You will not accomplish anything if you're not willing to step out. You know, we've heard of the famous missionary, David Livingstone. He was a famous pioneer missionary to Africa in the 1800s. And he went far inland. He went into the villages. He went into the jungles. And think about how that was, you know, 160 years ago. There was a leader of a group that wanted to come and help him in his missionary endeavors and wanted to send some men. And he sent a message that got to Livingston. It said, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we will send other men to join you." By the way, any missionary wants helpers. Here was his reply. "If you have found men who will come only if there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come even if there is no road at all." That's the mentality we need to have. We're never going to be the Christians God wants us to be if we're not willing to step out. And I want us to see that in the few minutes we have here in our story. We know this story well. It's a story early in Jesus' ministry. He is wanting to share, to preach to this crowd that had gathered. And he figured the best way to do that would be to get into the boat. And there's Peter there. They had been fishing all night. They really hadn't caught anything. And they're cleaning up. They brought their nets in. And by the way, that was a pretty big chore anyhow. Clean up all your nets, and you had to do it a certain way, or else, you know, get the water off of them, or else the nets would wear out quickly. And so they did this chore, and so Jesus has an idea, and he says, "Hey, let me get into your boat and go a little bit off the shore, just a little bit, so that it's a better for me to preach to the crowd." And he does that. He speaks to the crowd. Then when he's done with that, he looks specifically at them and talks about what they had done that night before. They went fishing and they had caught nothing. And he gives Peter a suggestion. He tells him that to get into his boat and go out into the deep. Don't just stay where you are at. Go farther out. Peter then, you know, he'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. They already were cleaned up. They're ready to go home. And he starts arguing with him. You see, these were no novice fishermen. These were men who did this for a living. These were men that knew the lay of the land. They had their plan they had followed, and they knew what typically would work best. They were prepared, and they had went out all night, and yet they didn't catch anything. And now here's Jesus saying, "Look, get away from the shore. Go out into the deep, and you're going to catch some fish." But it was predicated upon what he said in verse 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep." He's like, "Simon, I know we were working before and it didn't work. And I know right now you're on the shore and you're ready to call it a day. But let's bypass all that. Get in your boat and go out into the deep. Go farther out." You know, I want to pull some principles from this. Because for them, particularly after a night of catching nothing, particularly after cleaning up and being tired and all those things that are going on, they were done with it. So they were comfortable to stay by the shore. But Jesus is saying, the thing you were looking for, those fish, the thing that you spent your night working hard towards, it's out there in the deep. And he had to make a decision to go out there if he was going to get the fish. Most people are comfortable by the shore. We get in our little comfort zone. And we get to the place where life is kind of like, you know, okay. And we don't want to do anything else. And now, if we come to Christ and we get saved, that will not work. We'll never experience the life that Christ wants for us. We'll never experience the life that God has for us if we just want to stay in comfort where we're at, close to the shore. We've got to, you know, I know this word, this is not a good phrase in our society, got to man up and get out and go into the deep. We got to say, I don't want to just stick with what's comfortable. I don't want to stick with where I'm at right now. I really want what God has for me, and I'm willing to cut the rope, and I'm willing to go out to the shore. You have to get sick of being comfortable sitting on the shore. Many times just willing to watch the action of those who have gone away from the shore. Let's not get comfortable in the shallow water near the shore, wading occasionally, but limiting our involvement and our commitment level. You see, it doesn't work. If you want everything that God has for you, you need to launch out into the deep. We don't need more shore-hugging Christians. You know, you ever take children down to the beach or to the ocean and they're small and the waves come in and they're all, and then they usually start out being afraid, right? The water comes in, it's going to knock me over and I'll just go out a few feet. I'm not going to go out any farther. That's how most Christians are when it comes to Christianity. We'll come to church and we'll kind of get close, but as soon as the waves start coming in and it's going to require a little more effort on our part, we back away. We don't need more risk-adverse Christians. And by the way, you don't get the reward without the risk. We don't need more comfort-seeking Christians. You know, what I call non-profit Christians. They don't want to live their life in such a way that it's spiritually profitable for them, for the Lord, and for others. We don't just enough. But that's not what God wants. We need serious Christians who are willing to leave the comfort of the shore, to launch out into the deep, living unashamedly for Christ and making a difference in this world. Most of us are like, hey, as long as everything's okay for me, bills are paid, I'm doing okay, just leave me alone. That's the shore. But do you realize the fish were out in the deep? By the way, if you read ahead in the story, they went out. And it happened just as Christ said. They got so many fish, that net wasn't big enough. By the way, he blessed them even though they were intrepid. He said, throw your nets out. They only threw one. What do we need? I want to give you, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to freak out because of the time. I'm going to give you 8 very important realities you need to consider if you're to launch out and leave the comfort of the shore. Now, if you're new, don't get nervous because I like lunch too. Just very, very brief. First of all, you must give the effort. Verse 4, he says, go down there and let down your nets. See, out in the deep, work would need to be done. By the way, there wasn't much to do on the shore. They were done. The only reason he was off the side of the shore is because Jesus had asked him to go out just a little bit so he could preach to the crowd. But it took effort. You don't realize the effort it took for them when they got back in from a fruitless night of fishing to clean up all their gear, to clean up all their nets, to get them all set up and put away. And now Jesus is saying, go right back out and let your nets out. It was going to take effort. And by the way, most of us don't want to put in the effort. You know what we are? We're lotto Christians. We're just hoping that because we're saved, God calls our number and we get everything and we don't have to put any effort into it. Can I just tell you something? No effort, no reward. Nothing ever comes easy. And by the way, it's worth the effort. It's going to take effort. That's why we don't leave the shore. The shore's easy. We just sit there. And by the way, if you're new, I'm not harping on us, but we get comfortable with just coming to church. That's churchianity. We need Christianity. As a young person trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing, I started with just going to church. I knew there was something better in my life. My life was a train wreck. And I thought, I'll just go to church. And I went to church Sunday morning for 4 weeks in a row. And that's all it took. And I realized, I got to take this thing seriously or I got to back away. And I'm like, I'm in. I wasn't satisfied with that. And I hope you're not satisfied with where you're at. God has something much better for you, but we got to be willing to get away from the comfort zone and put the work in. I think about where our church has come over the years. That doesn't happen by accident. It happens because people are willing to put the effort in. People are willing. Look, this church started because Pastor Esposito was willing to take the risk. He was willing to come out here supported by missions and do something that, by the way, he was counseled by many others not to do. You don't start a church just reaching Cambodians. Do that through another church. But he felt that wasn't God's way. And you've heard his stories, mowing lawns and all the different things he did. But I'm thankful that he did. Risk. Are you willing to put the effort in? Secondly, I'm giving you hope. See how fast that was? You must have trust. Verse 4 again, he goes, go and let down your nets for a Brother Pichardo said the word's more pronounced draft than drought. Let's just say for a grip. Okay? Go out there. You're going to get a bunch of fish. Now, in his mind, a professional fisherman probably looking at Jesus like, what do you know about fish? You're a preacher. He knew who he was, but you're a preacher, and you're not a fisherman. I've been doing this for a living. You know, sometimes we will tell the kids, like, we forgot more about child rearing than you'll ever remember. And he probably thought that. I know more about fishing than you probably do. He was wrong about that, by the way. But if he was going to receive it, he had to trust what he was telling him. Trust that the fish are out there. The reward is out there. The blessing is out there. The fulfillment in life and the purpose in life is out there. It's not by the shore. By the way, anything, you don't catch fish on the shore. I remember one time, I think it was Tim, we went, and your dad may have been with us that time, we went fishing and we weren't catching anything, and we were standing on the shore of the little lake there, and this fish just swam right up to Tim on the shore. You know why? Because it had been hit or something, and it was brain dead. And he reached over and picked it up and said, now this is not the fish you want to eat. There is something wrong with this fish. Okay? And there's nothing good on the shore. The good fish are out there. But you have to back away and trust that the Lord is right when he tells us what is right. We have to get over it. See, we're trying to find joy where we think joy is found instead of trusting where he says joy is found. We're trying to find security in life in our own ways and building our own kingdom and hanging on to our own things instead of trusting the security that comes from Christ. We're looking for significance and purpose in life and doing our own thing, but that is only found as you understand your position in Christ and you follow him. We're trying to find it in our relationships, and we can only have the kind of relationships we should have as we trust and follow what the Word of God tells us to do. We have to trust him that getting out into the deep and getting away from the shore is the place to be. Thirdly, you must fight fatigue. Now here come the excuses. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. They were already tired. He already said, we were out there. We worked it, and it just doesn't work. He's like, well, you didn't put enough effort in. Go back out there, but this time when you go out there, put the effort that I'm telling you to put into it. Don't do your own thing. By the way, life gets hard, doesn't it? We're trying to fix things, and we have things we face in life at all the times, and we're not negligent. We're trying to do the right thing, and we work hard at it, and sometimes it just doesn't work. That doesn't mean we quit putting the effort in. It means we find out what God says and put his effort in. right? We're working hard. It's like that verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, you know, you put a lot of labor to cut something with a dull knife, but wisdom is profitable to direct. When we find out what God says, it's like we sharpen that knife, and now the effort's still there, but now we're seeing the results. Don't quit. We've had what? Five, I think we've had five couples get married last year. Five of our younger couples get married here. Isaac and Valerie came in. You're still smiling. Okay, how long has it been, Isaac? See, he's already fatigued. And I joke around, the honeymoon's over. Listen, you get past that, I'm not trying to discourage you. You get past that honeymoon phase where everything's electric and everything's brand new. And let me tell you, it's not electric anymore. And it's not brand new anymore. You say, man, I'm not getting married. I know, we shouldn't. No. It can still be good. It's just good in a different way because now you're putting the effort in. You're not building something that's gonna last for a couple months. You're building something that's gonna last for the rest of your lives. You got to put the effort in. By the way, the reward is worth the effort. In any endeavor in life, fight the fatigue. Sometimes in raising our families and dealing with the children, it's so easy just to give in. Fight the fatigue. Sometimes in serving the Lord, you know, you come to church or you get involved in a ministry and everything's electric and it's great that day. And then other times you come. That's okay. Just keep fighting through it. Just keep fighting through it. Fight the fatigue. Keep doing what you're supposed to. Next, number four, you must forget the failure. He said in verse 5, when they're talking about them working all night, he says, and have taken nothing. Nothing. It's like, why would I go out and try what you're telling me to do? Because in the past, I experienced failure. Failure. Sometimes I'll meet with people of different situations in life, sometimes couples, and maybe they're newer in their faith or things are going on. It's like, listen, you can make it. But it's like we've tried these different things in our marriage. We tried these different things with our children. We tried these different things in our life and in our career or whatever it is, and it's just not worked. Is it worth it to give the effort in? Yeah, because if you're a Christian, you have Christ on your side. Yeah, if you're following his word, you'll have his blessings coming forth. But you have to fight the failure. We have a set, by the way, sometimes we're going forward and we're making progress, and then we have a trip up. And we say, well, there you go, see? Just like the old times, it's like, wait a minute, time out. Where did you have your trip up? You had your trip up 2 miles away from where you used to be. You're going the right direction. Get up and keep going. Amen. Don't let failure be fatal. Oh, there's a man, he's a businessman in England. His name was Michael Jones. I heard him say this. He's multi-millionaire. I don't know the business at this time. But he said before that he had started another business and he went bankrupt. And he made a statement. He goes, it's not failure. It's feedback. In other words, he said, I didn't fail. I learned what I need to correct to go forward from here. But see, Satan, when we fail, throws it in our face and says, why try? Why give it any effort? It's not worth it. And then we're stuck to the shore. Next, number 5, look at that. We are making progress. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. You must follow commands. This is the key. Verse 5. He gave all the excuses, the failure, the fatigue, everything that had happened. He goes, nevertheless, at thy word. If I can't talk you into leaving the shore of comfortable Christianity and really serving Christ unashamedly, then let me just say this. Just do it because Jesus says that's what you're supposed to do. He did say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I just tend to believe he meant that. Yep. Amen. But we have to follow what he says. Sometimes our feelings say the opposite. Sometimes our failures push us in a different direction. Sometimes our fatigue says, don't even try. Sometimes our fear of it's not going to work out and people are going to misunderstand me. Throw all that to the side. And if Jesus says, follow him, and if you follow him, let me just tell you something. He's not going to walk along the shore. Amen. Didn't he walk out onto the water? Yep. Jesus doesn't walk away from things. He walks straight into them. Remember, we always get on doubting Thomas, right? Because he wasn't there and he did doubt. But early on, one time, Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem. And last time they were there, they had almost been stoned. And Thomas said, hey, he kind of brought that forth. He goes, but you know what? Let's go with him and die. I mean, Jesus did. Last time he was there, he says, if Jesus is going to go, I'm in. See, we're always trying to skirt the hard things. Let's just follow God without any hesitation at all. Why should we follow him? Simply because he says. And remember this, God's word has power, but it only has power if it's followed. It doesn't force itself on us. Next, number six, you must have commitment. Verse 5, he said, I will let down the net. Now, I'm not going to chide with him because he didn't take all the nets. But he said, okay, I will do it. I like that little, I will. You know what I will means? I'm not thinking about it. I'm not praying about it. It's not a possibility if everything stays okay. Jesus, you said do it. I am. I will. Everything takes commitment. The reason we stay anchored to the shore is because we're unwilling to commit. We've been burned in life in other areas because we committed and it didn't turn out well. Well, remember this, your commitment and its success is only as great as the person to whom it's given to. And if you commit to the wrong person or you commit to the wrong thing or the wrong path in life, well, of course you might have misery. But listen to me, you're never going to be miserable if you commit to Jesus Christ. You're never going to be miserable if you commit to getting off the shore and following him. We don't go after it. We stay tied to the shore. We don't want to be committed. We don't want to join the church because we might have to be committed. We don't want to give of our time, our talent, our treasures, because we don't want to be committed. And we don't want to commit to living the scripture, because we just don't want to be tied into it. That's okay, then you're tied to the shore. So we have to be committed. And then the last two, you must bear fruit. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, Peter and his co-workers, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Now, I'll say this, it didn't have to break. They should have took all the nets. But look at that. Jesus even blessed their little bit of faith, although it was not complete faith. If they would have been in complete faith, everything he had for them would have been brought in. They lost some of it because they didn't. But here's the point. It did work. They did get something out of it. See, here's what we want. We want the blessings and the fruit of a Christian life without making the commitment to actually live it. And by the way, if you come to church and it's like, you know, I'm all in on this, I want God to do something, but we're not willing to follow him to the best of our ability, and then we get upset when things don't really work out, it's because we're kind of half-hearted. We have to be fully invested in him. We have to be fully committed to him. That's where the fruit comes from. And if you look at John chapter 15, the Bible tells us that that's just a natural occurrence for Christians. We ought to have fruit in our life. Fruit is the characteristics that become a part of our life because we're following Christ and the Spirit of God brings them in our life. And the fruit of it is the life that we live. So let me say this. You can tell whether or not you're out in the deep or you're tied to the shore. Is God doing something in your life? Are you being more conformed to the image of Christ? Is God using you to be an encouragement and a blessing to others? You say, I don't have any of that. I just have nothing but frustration. And by the way, we'll still have problems. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, health and wealth and all that, but you know what I'm talking about. You know the trajectory of your life, and you know whether or not God is really doing something. Maybe you need to cut the rope, get rid of the anchor, and go out. Go out. You must bear fruit. Don't expect to receive on the shore what can only be achieved out in the deep. See, we want deep results, but we want shore commitment. That don't work. You want little commitment and deep results. You want deep results, you need deep commitment. You want out in the ocean results? You got to go out into the ocean. Yeah. Lastly is this. Verse 7. You must involve others. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. They had so much fruit, they said, we need someone else to come help us get this. This is too much for us. You know, one sign that you're away from the shore is you'll bring other people with you. Yeah. See, people can notice when something good's going on in your life. People can notice when God is working in your life. I remember in our family, I've mentioned it before, not recent, but I got right with God. I was out of high school. I should have been in high school, but I was out of high school, and I started going to church, and I didn't want to go alone, so I made my mom come. And then I made my aunt and my grandmother live down the street, so I'm bringing them with us. And I started going to church, and after a month, the pastor's wife came by, and my mom, my aunt, my grandma got saved. Amen. So we were all going to church together. Then next thing you know, my uncle Jim and my aunt Judy, we got them coming to church with us. My uncle wouldn't get saved. And Pastor Black witnessed to him I believe it was a Thursday night, and he knew how to get saved. He said, I'm just not ready. The next day, he's driving on the freeway. He was eating something. He started to choke, and he couldn't breathe. And he's driving on the freeway, and he kind of gave himself a Heimlich maneuver. And the food came out, and he's like, I need to get saved. And he got saved. And then my all of them started coming. My sister was coming, and then my other aunt was coming, and then my other aunt and uncle. And we would go to church, and after every Sunday, we'd go to one of their houses and eat. We had two, sometimes more, pews of my family members just coming to church. Because we started to see the fruit. Listen, don't you want to be a blessing to others? It's not going to happen if God's not working in your life. Right. Now, let me just ask you this today, and we're done. Where are you at? Are you close to the shore? You're not going to see the good stuff there. You say, but this might change some things in my life. It'll change some things in your life for the good. Yep. This might change, you know, it'll change all of that, but it'll change it for the good. But you have to be willing to say, I'm tired of staying here close to the sand where I can jump out at any time. I need to launch out into the deep. I need to take this thing seriously. Yeah. Seriously. I believe everybody, you have to make two decisions. The first decision is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But after you do that, you need another decision. I'm going to follow Christ. Yeah. I'm going to be serious about getting away from the shore and going out to where the life Amen. That he wants me to have is. We may bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. I want you to think about yourself for a minute. And by the way, let me say this so we're on the same page. Growth happens over a period of time. Okay? It's a process. You know, you don't just say, I'm leaving the shore, and next thing you know, you're in the middle of the lake or the ocean. It takes a while to get there, but you're heading that direction. Is that the direction you're headed? Or are you tied to the shore? Blessing comes out there. Doesn't come close to all the other stuff. What do you want in life? Do you want God's blessing? Do you want God to be real? Sometimes people are like, I just wish God was real in my life. He's not real when you're laying on the shore. He's real when you go out into the deep and you see him working in your life. Maybe some of you were out in the deep and you started to come back to the shore. You decided that, whatever, maybe influences or whatever, and now you're turning and you're kind of heading back to the shore. No, turn and go back to where you're supposed to be. To where you're supposed to be. And let me say this, some of you may not even be in the boat. Say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? You're not a child of God. You see, the first step Jesus wants is for you to get into the boat. And that comes as you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me ask this, no one looking around, please. Are you 100% for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubt? I came to a church service on Easter Sunday when I was a teenager. They asked that question, and I had doubt. I raised my hand. I met Jesus Christ. I got in the boat. If you're here this morning without anybody looking, you'd say, Pastor Myers, that's me. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to take care of. Pastor, would you pray for me? If you would put your hand up and let me recognize that, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Pastor, I'm not sure. Yes, I see your hand. Anybody else at all? We'll pray for you. Let's stand together if we may. I'm going to pray in a minute, but for now, the piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, maybe you say, Pastor, I need to trust him more and start heading in that direction. The altar's open. Why don't you pray? Come and pray. Maybe you were heading that direction and maybe you've been going back the wrong direction. Pastor, I need to turn my boat around. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're so grateful for the Word of God. We're grateful that you have something better for us than what this life has to offer. Lord, there's a greater joy, a greater love, a greater purpose, a greater significance and security to our life than what we can experience by the shore. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to trust you, to take your word by faith, and to live the life you would choose for us to live. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.